Ecclesiastes 9, and obviously with her graduating and being the only senior this year in our church, I didn't want to preach a sermon just at her. You know, get a chair, set her right here in the middle, and just, Sarah, let her have it. So I did adapt it to everyone in the room, okay? But it will be some helpful hints for you there, Miss Sarah, on your graduation. But the title of my sermon is this: What to Do When You Reach a Major Change in Your Life. What to do when you reach or come across a major change in your life. And so, of course, that can apply to everybody in here. This is a major change to her. Monday morning, she doesn't have to get up and go to school. Amen? And that'll be a blessing. But then, later on in life, she'll have to get up and go to work. Amen? But anyway, that's a major change. She was a student. Now she's a graduate. And so forth. But that can apply to everybody in here. We have different points that we can look at. We can say, I was unsaved, and now I'm saved. That's a pretty major change in your life. So if you remember before you were saved, and now you are saved, you remember that great change. These principles that we're going to look at today will apply. Then you could say, I was in school, but now I'm out of school. You could say, I was unemployed, and now I am employed. That's a great change. Hopefully it doesn't go back the other way. Unemployed, employed, back to unemployed, and so forth. But that's a major change. Here's another pretty major change. I was single, but now I'm married. That's a pretty major change. These principles will apply to that. And then we were just us, married, and no kids, but now we have kids. Definitely a major change, amen, and so forth. Especially with those sleep schedules and those dirty diaper changes and things like that. Anyway, that this too will pass. But anyway, that's a major change. And then you have multiple kids, and then you go to that empty nest. And my wife and I think we celebrated that for about 3 months. And then our in-laws moved in with us, my in-laws moved in with us. So we had empty nest for a little while, and so forth. But that's a major change. And then you have children, and then you get these things called grandchildren. All right? And they're grand because they go home. All right? That's how grand it is. It's grand to see them come, and it's grand to see them go. Because you're like, it's up there. But anyway, that's major changes. And so forth. But anyway, so these principles will apply. And now, if you have a specific issue, you might have to add to these principles that we're going to talk about today to help you in that issue. All right? But we definitely don't need to leave these out of any issue. Understand what I'm saying? So these principles that I'm going to show you today in the Bible, they will help in every issue. There may be some more principles and biblical and prayers you need to add to get through that issue, but you definitely don't need to leave these out, okay? And so we're looking at these general points. Some need to be more specific, added to what you're saying there. And I'll say it like this. Henry Ford, some of you probably heard this statement before. Henry Ford is the one that said it the first time. If you always do what you always done, you will always get what you've always got. Okay, anybody not heard that before? A few people have not heard it. I'll read it again. All right, he said this: if you always do what you always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And so I think he was saying, and his premise was that, you know, if you keep making the same mistake over and over and over, but you don't change anything, you're going to keep making that mistake over and over and over. So you might need to stop, think, change, do something. So the premise here is if you want something different out of life, you're going to have to put maybe something different in life. But if you keep doing what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always got. So he was saying to keep making those mistakes and your life is a mess, stop. Make a change and do something different, heading a different direction. But the principle also works this way. And this is the way I'm going to use it today. If you're doing right, and good things, it says here, the principle works in this same direction. If you are always doing right and things are good, just keep doing right. In other words, I've heard it said this: whatever you were doing to get what you got, keep doing what you did to get it. All right? And so whatever we did to get what we wanted, we just need to keep doing that to keep having what we have. And I'll give you some examples of this. Some of us, I remember the first time that I ever got serious about this, I think it was about eighth grade. And because I was going from, junior high football, that I was going to go and play, hopefully, we had a JV and a varsity. Of course, our goal was to make it to the varsity and so forth. So we started working out. Now we did push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups. We even got the medal, you know, the lifting weights, the bench that we put it on there and all that kind of stuff. And we started working out. But if you start doing that, it will. I mean, it'll start giving you muscles. You'll get muscles on top of muscles. You'll get all what they call today swole, I guess is what they call it, and so forth. But thing is, if you stop working out, they're leaving. And I've seen these guys, you know, that was roided up, and I mean, they were just like, you know, just huge, and they stop. They get all wrinkly. That skin has been stretched out. So you got to keep it up. If you want muscles and you start working out, you got to keep working out to keep muscles. Same thing. Weight loss things. I mean, it is crazy out there today. Take this shot, take this gummy, take this pill, take. I mean, it's just like every other commercial and so forth. But they say that if you stop taking those shots that cost $300 a month or more, if you stop eating that little gummy, guess what? It's all coming back. All right, and so forth. So we see the principle is there. If you're doing something and it's getting you something good, you got to keep doing it. Here's one. I wanted that starting position on the JV team when I got to ninth grade, and I mean I was focused. I was gritting my teeth. I definitely needed that mouthpiece that you were supposed to boil and bite and all that kind of stuff. I needed it. I mean, I was so amped up that I was ready. I mean, I was tackling my mom in the house. She'd come down the hallway, boom, and I was, you know, I was pumped up. My mom was like, stop. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But, I was ready. Why? Because my dad said, look, if you want to, you know, get a starting position, you're going to have to work. They're not just going to give it to you. And so we got there, and we were told to go in the field house, and I mean the equipment that we had to use was probably 30, 40 years old. Nothing kept snapping together. Nothing. We had to tape our pads in, you know, our helmet. Man, it would turn all the way around on us and things like that. And just go figure out some kind of thing. And when we came out, you know, we were all like, oh. And I mean, they put a piece of duct tape right here. What's your last name, boy? And I told them, and they wrote Stanley across there. Okay, go get in that line. And I mean, they ran us. We had to jump stuff. We had to do all kinds of drills, things like that. And I was watching. And anybody, what they called back then, was laid the wood to somebody. In other words, made those helmets and those shoulder pads pop. All right? They would go over there, and they would grab them by the face mask, and they would write their last name down on the clipboard. And I was like, okay, hurt somebody, and you get your name on the clipboard. All right, I'm not, you know, I can figure this out. So the next drill, man, I broke the dude in half. I mean, just bam, hit him with all I had. He actually cried. And, and I watched him. I was like, yeah, I got my name on the clipboard. And so what I was doing got my name on the clipboard. And I kept doing it all day long. And when they announced the starting lineups, my name was in the starting lineups. But you know what? If I just went over and sat down, missed a few tackles, not, you know, aggressive like they liked. Scratched my name out, next guy up. So you got to keep doing what you did to get what you wanted. Same thing. When I got a job, I was there on time. I worked hard. But if you're not there on time and you quit working hard, you can lose the job. They always told me, my dad did anyway, whatever you did to woo her into marrying you, you better keep it up. All right? You know, however you convinced her to marry an ugly dude like you, you better keep it up. You know, be nice, be sweet, give her flowers. I meant to get her some last week. But, you know, do this, do that. Keep it up. Love your wife. Here's one, relationship with God. It takes work to read your Bible, to be consistent. To do what you think God wants you to do. And then He starts blessing you. If you want His blessings to continue, you got to keep it up. So we're here in Ecclesiastes 9:10. Roman numeral 1, first point of my sermon, Sarah and everybody else. Keep working hard. Keep working hard. If you want to be successful in anything, if you're, any of these changes take place in your life, don't stop working. Keep working hard. Bible principle, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, here it is, do it with thy might. In other words, the Bible says, work. Work hard. Keep doing it. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. So one day you're going to die and you're going to be put in the ground and, oh, I wish I'd have worked harder. I wish I hadn't stopped working. I wish I hadn't, let up. And, you know, again, back in, I believe, I can't remember what it was, maybe 2000, a little earlier in 2000s. I know this has come and gone, so all you young people don't be so lame. All right. But I was a youth director, even though I was old. And the kids in my youth group back in 2000-somethings, they started saying, YOLO! YOLO! And I'm like, what the stink is YOLO? And, again, praise God for my phone. I could Google it. And I kept what they were saying. But anyway, YOLO, you only live once. You only live once. Now, most of the time when a phrase comes out like that, it's like this. You only live once, so do something stupid. That's what they were saying. YOLO, jump off a building without a parachute. YOLO, man. All right? Ramp your four-wheeler over the lake. YOLO, you only live once. Dumb stuff, okay? But spiritually speaking, I hate to put YOLO in God tense, all right, but you only live once. The Bible says right there, there's no device, there's no knowledge, there's no wisdom in the grave where thou goest. You only get one chance at this. Now, obviously, praise the Lord, God's merciful. His mercies endure forever. They're new every morning. And He lets us make mistakes and He'll help us. But you only get one life. Keep working hard. Keep working hard. First of all, keep working hard. And now, obviously, when you think of work, you think of maybe physical work, sweaty work, smelly work, hard work, things like that. But, I mean, you can apply all this. Being spiritual is work. So keep working at being spiritual. Mentally prepared. It takes work. Going to school for how many ever years? 12 years. And if you did kindergarten before that and all that kind of stuff, and you go to college after that, it's mental work. And sometimes mental work is harder on me than the physical. I'm more tired mentally and so forth. But then physical. So keep working hard spiritually, mentally, and physically. And these principles will apply. So A underneath Roman 1. Because, why do you keep working hard? Because God will bless you. Because God will bless you. We saw in Sunday school this morning, if you want to be prosperous, there were some Bible principles to live by. And God says, you shall prosper. You shall be blessed. So if God looks down and sees you working hard spiritually, mentally, physically, God says, I will bless you. And I have tons of verses this morning. So you can either write these references down or you can go back and one at a time on the live stream, whatever you need to do. But there's biblical principles that we're going to look at that says, keep working hard. Keep working hard. Why? Because God will bless you. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do heartily. I mean, with all your might, heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. So what got you to graduation? What got you to a successful job? What got you to marriage? What got you to a successful Christian life? Do that heartily as unto the Lord and you keep working hard. Why? Because God is the one that blessed you. And if He blessed you for doing it, He will bless you for continuing to do it. So keep working hard because God will bless you. Verse 24 says this, knowing that the Lord shall receive, I'm sorry, knowing of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. There's a lot of people that have this opinion. If somebody does something for me, I'm going to pay for it. If somebody does something for me, I'm going to acknowledge it. If somebody does something for me, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to let them know. That's God's opinion. If God looks down and sees somebody working hard spiritually, He's not going to just take advantage of it. He's going to reward you. The Bible talks about doing it in secret, and He will reward you openly. God's like, I'm not going to be a debtor to anybody. And that's what Paul said. I'm a debtor. I'm going to pay my debt. And so when God looks down, He says here, I see this person working heartily as unto the Lord. Verse 24, know this, ye shall receive a reward of an inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Ephesians 6, 7 and 8. Says here, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord. So in other words, you're doing a good service as to the Lord and not unto men. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So in other words, God says, look, if you'll serve me, I will take care of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to reward you for your hard work. Two more under this point. Psalm 128:2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So again, this principle in Psalm says, look, if you keep working hard, you're going to be happy, and it's going to be well with you. So promises from the book of God's word that says, hey, if you keep working hard, you're going to be happy, and it's going to be well with you. Last one, Galatians 6:9. Says here, let us not be weary in well doing. So keep working hard. Don't get weary about it. For in due season we shall reap. In other words, God's going to bless us if we faint not, if we don't quit. Obviously, the devil just says, quit, give up, don't try. God says, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep working hard. So keep working hard, number one, because God will bless you. Number two, because God says so. Now, this ruffles some feathers sometimes, all right? But there's way more commandments in this book than just 10. I mean, there's a bunch of them. You're like, oh, but God says so. Why do I got to keep working hard? God said, look, if you do, I just showed you verse after verse after verse. If you do, I'm going to reward you. If you do, I'm going to bless you. If you do, you're going to be happy. If you do, it's going to be well with you. So that should be enough. But because I said so, and all of us that had parents, we heard that our whole life. Why do I got to make my bed? Because I said so. Why do I got to finish my broccoli? Because I said so. Why do I have to not be mean to my sister? Because I said so. We heard it over and over. So God says in His Word, there's some commands that God tells us not to be lazy. Romans 12:11 says here, not slothful. Okay, that means basically lazy. All right, and you know what a sloth is. It's like, I'm fixing to point at y'all. Okay, all right. Slothful, slow. Lazy. No, the Bible says not slothful in business. But it is right here. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Well, I got to go to church. Well, I got to go read my Bible. Well, I got to pass out a tract. I got to tell the truth. No! Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. I get to read my Bible. I get to pass out a tract. I get to serve the Lord. This is how God says do it. Matthew 5:16, our church verse. Let your light so shine. Right, not just shine, not blink or glimmer, but God says, hey, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So God says to keep working hard. Not like a sloth. Let your light so shine. Another one. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat, we're going to, or drink, we're going to, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. God says so. Got a couple more of these. Philippians 2:14 and 15. Philippians 2:14 and 15. Do all things. God's pretty specific. Do all things, and here it is, without murmuring and disputing. That was hard for me. Oh, why do I have to get up? I think that's a murmur. I don't want to go to school. I think that's a disputing. I don't. Okay, but the Bible says do all things. Keep working hard. Do all things. Without murmuring, disputing. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights unto the world. So God says, hey, I want my Christians to be happy, not sad. I want my Christians to be fervent in spirit, not slothful. I want my Christians to be excited about the opportunity to serve me, not I've got to. That's what he's saying. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Another one, Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. That's hard to do. Yesterday, my wife and I told the guys this in Sunday school class. We were putting a pack and play together. I didn't even know what a pack and play was. They didn't have those when we had kids. And I mean, it had some okayed instructions. And then it says, you know, do as shown. Who's showing me? All right. So I found the box and it had pictures on it. Okay. But then there were still leftover parts. What in the world? Okay. But I hadn't heard Landon cry, so it's holding him up. Okay. So praise the Lord. I hope it does. But anyway, so do all things without murmuring and disputings. I get to do this. I'm excited about it. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all to the glory of God. Last one. Oh, I'm sorry, two more. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says this, that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may have lack of nothing. God says, if you'll keep working hard with the right kind of spirit, you won't be lacking anything. I will take care of you. The Bible says, He shall supply all our need according to His riches and glory. We just got to keep working. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those in his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So again, no matter what you go through, no matter what great accomplishment or great situation that you come in, I just don't feel like it. I just don't want to anymore. The Bible says if we don't provide for our own, we're worse than an infidel. What's an infidel? Somebody that doesn't believe in God. Somebody that's an atheist. Obviously, God's not going to bless. God says we're worse than that if we don't provide for our own. So keep working hard. Wow, number one, because God will bless you. Number two, because God says so. Number three, because God will give you wisdom. God will give you wisdom. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to expect. I can't see around the corner. You just keep working hard and God will give you wisdom. Several verses in this one. Again, so you see that this is not just my opinion. I'm giving you God's word on it. God's opinion. Keep working hard because God will give you wisdom. 2 Timothy 2:6-7. 2 Timothy 2:6-7. The husbandmen, in other words, the ones that are in charge of the garden, in charge of planting, in charge of reaping, the husband that laboreth, it's work, must be first partaker of his fruit. That's nice. You plant some tomatoes, it's nice to eat it. All right? Well, I don't like tomatoes. Well, why'd you plant them? Well, to give them away. But anyway, this guy, he needs food so he can have the strength to work. Again, I've given you illustrations in here. I told you before, I went mowing one day. I think I did like 16 yards. Didn't eat breakfast, didn't drink a lot that day, and that was dumb. I'm laying in the ground all contorted because my body was dehydrated, and I need that substance. That's what God's saying. God's going to give you wisdom to know, hey, if I'm going to work, I need some. In other words, if I'm going to train up my child in the way it should go, I got to know my stuff. If I'm going to be the right kind of testimony at work, I got to know my stuff. If I'm going to be able to lead someone to Christ, I got to know my stuff. That's what he's saying. The husband that laboreth must be partakers first of his own fruits. Verse 7 says this, consider, think about it. Consider what I say, that the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In other words, if you'll partake first in the Word of God, God will give you understanding. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And it says here, whether having no guide. In other words, nobody's going to tell you when to get up anymore. You're graduated. All right. Has no guide. But, it says here, overseer or ruler, verse 8, provideth her own meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. God says, hey, look at this ant. Work, 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 work. I don't know if you've ever done this. I'm kind of sadistic, but I've done this before. You see a big old ant pile? Knock it over. All right. Usually what I do now is just squirt it with stuff and they all die. But anyway, I used to knock them over. And I mean, you don't see them go, oh, man, good night. Run this thing. We've been working on it. I'm just stop. I'm done. No, what do they start doing? Exactly. Going right back. That's what God says. If you'll work hard, I'll give you wisdom and it'll be just like this ant. I'm just going to keep working. This happened in my life. Well, I'm going to just keep working. Well, I mean, lo and behold, I didn't see this coming, but I'm just going to keep working. That's what God's saying. I'll give you wisdom if you just keep working. Proverbs 12:11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. And so again, people will say, I need to get a job. Well, no, let's go party. Let's go do this. That's fine. Celebrate. But then you're going to have to go back to work. Don't follow vain persons. Bible says you got to till your land. You got to work. Proverbs 13:14. The soul of a sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent, in other words, he keeps working, shall be made fat. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. The ones that keep working, they're going to be in charge. But the slothful shall be under tribute. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In other words, when this happens, I'm gonna. Talk is cheap, is what that verse is saying. Another one that we've probably heard, put your money where your mouth is. In other words, blah, 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 it's not gonna pay the bills. Blah, 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 it's not going to cause wisdom to come. But you work spiritually, mentally, and physically. God says, I'll take care of you. You keep working. And the talk is cheap. So you keep working hard and God will bless you. You keep working hard because God says so. You keep working hard because God will give you wisdom. And lastly, in this point, because God will help you. God will help you. It's kind of like a parent. You do this and you do this and you do this, but then you're struggling. The parent comes over there and helps, explains, encourages. That's what God is. God says, hey, keep working. I'll bless you. Keep working because I said so. Keep working and you'll gain some wisdom. But if I see you struggling, I'll be right there to help you. That's what he's saying. Several verses on this one. Matthew 19:26. Listen. But Jesus behold them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. You know the rest of it. But with God, all things are possible. I can't do that. Well, I'll help you. I can't go to the mission field. I'll help you. I can't become a soul winner. I'll help you. I can't understand the Bible. I'll help you. I can't live a good Christian life. I'll help you. I can't raise children like the Bible tells me to. I'll help you. I can't be the right kind of friend. I'll help you. God's like, look, there's no excuse you can give me that I won't help you. It says here, but all things are possible. Philippians 4:13, we all know it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'll help you. Psalm 90 verse 17. And let, that's the key word in this verse. And let. Don't help me, I can do it. That's all in us. Don't, I got it. We got to let Him. We'll make a mess of it sometimes. God comes and says, look, I'll help you. I got it. I can do it. That pride's there. Listen to what the rest of the verse says. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. I promise you, it'll be a whole lot better if we let God help us. Let Him help you. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise Him. That's why sometimes when you're singing a hymn, and you look over there and you see tears coming down. What's wrong with this loony bin? Well, the words in that song reminds them of some help God gave them. And I mean, they just sit there, whoo, I can't help it. God's awesome. He helped me. He helped get me saved. He helped me learn His Word. He's helped me to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. God helped me. And I'm just going to be greatly rejoicing in my song and just trusting God. Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Just commit it. God, I'm doing this, and God says He'll help us. So, we saw number one, what do we do when there's a major change coming in our life? Just keep working. And we saw that. These other ones I won't do as much, but here's the second step. What do we do when a major change comes in our life? Just keep working. Secondly, just keep putting God first. Put God first. Put God first. A couple of verses. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and here it is, and all these things shall be added unto you. The devil's going to say, hey, you need to quit serving God so you can get a job. You need to quit serving God so you can get a car. You need to quit serving God so you can get a husband or a wife. No. God says, hey, you put me first. You go to church first. You read your Bible first. You live like a Christian first. Then when you need a job, I'll give you one. Then when you need a car, I'll give you one. And when you need a mate, I'll give you one. But you keep putting me first. Look at what verse 34 says. And I'm paraphrasing here. It says, take no thought on the morrow. This is what the devil, what are you going to do tomorrow? You're graduated. What are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. All right. I don't have a job. What am I going to do tomorrow? That's what the Bible says in verse 34. You, like you did in verse 33, put God first. It says here, take no thought for the morrow. Put God first. And here's what it says. And tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. That's what we rack our brain. I got to figure it out. I got to do it. Just put God first. And He says, I'll let tomorrow take care of itself. Here's another one, Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning from the firstborn, or the firstborn from the dead. And here it is, that all things He might have preeminence. And that's what that word preeminence means, first choice. So in other words, God gets first place in our life. He should get first consideration. He should get first choice. And God says, if you'll do that, I'm going to take care of it all. And here's some promises. Proverbs 3:6. Brother Derek mentioned this. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. But you've got to do that first. Don't try to figure out your path on your own and then say, God, I've made a mess. Can you come help? And He can. But it would have been a whole lot better if you had just said, okay, I'm going to acknowledge You first before I go down any path. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him first, and He shall direct thy path. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, talk about God, shall find it. So in other words, Matthew 10:39 says, no, first you give God your life. Let Him make of it what He wants, and you'll find your life. But if you're like, it's my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to do what makes me happy. You're going to lose it. That's what that principle's saying. So what happens when a major change, you keep working hard and you put God first. Last one, Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And if you do that, you're going to love God first. It didn't say love God with half of your heart and love this other stuff with the other half. No. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your might, the Bible says. So seek Him first. Put Him first. Think of Him first. Find His will first. Love Him first. So when a major change comes in your life, keep working hard. Secondly, keep putting God first. And lastly, keep resisting Satan. Keep resisting Satan. So, if he's like, okay, I'm going to keep working hard, Satan's going to try to mess you up. Keep you from doing that. Okay. I'm going to put God first. Look out. Here comes Satan. He can derail you wanting to work hard. He can derail you wanting to put God first. So the third thing you need to do when a major change comes in your life, you got to keep resisting him. Okay, know that he's out there. A couple of verses. James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God. And here it is. Resist the devil and he will flee. Now, I've done some study on this, but the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of the air. Okay, so in other words, we can't see the devil. But how do you resist something you can't see? Okay, by faith. We believe in God in something we can't see, by faith. You resist the devil in somebody you can't see, by faith. In other words, faith in the Word of God. When the devil comes and tempts you to lie, quote him a verse, thou shalt not lie. That's resisting him. When the devil comes and gives you a temptation, hey, commit adultery or commit fornication. No. The Bible says thou shalt not. You resist him with the Word of God. Hey, be lazy. No. The Bible says work and then you'll be blessed. You resist him with the Word of God. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist him and he will flee from you. Why? Because a couple things. Luke 22:31 says, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you like wheat. All right? I've never sifted. I've seen my wife sift before, making homemade biscuits. All right? But that little sifter is breaking up that flour, getting all the clumps out of it, breaking up and scattering it around. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to break up your life and scatter it. He wants to break up your family and scatter it. He wants to break up this church and scatter it. That's his desire. He wants to sift us. He wants to scatter us everywhere. So we've got to resist him. Here's another one. James 1:14-15 says the devil desires to tempt you. Tempt you. Not only does he want to sift you, he wants to tempt you. And it talks about that temptation. It talks about being drawn away in your own lust. It talks about enticement. Enticement is just getting you to consider to do wrong. And then it talks about sinning. And then it says, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So God's saying here, look, when you're resisting the devil, you say, I don't want to die. I don't want God to judge me, take me out. So how do I keep from that happening? Keep from sinning. How do I keep from sinning? Don't listen to the enticement. Keep your own lust in check. Don't listen to the temptation. And the Bible even says where when that temptation comes, God says, hey, there's the devil's temptation, but here's my way of escape. So you find that way of escape. That's how you resist the devil. Last one, Revelation 20:10. Satan desires to deceive you. So he desires to sift us. He desires to deceive us. He desires to tempt us. So we have to keep fighting or keep resisting Satan. So in conclusion of these three things, all right, I want to be successful like we saw in Sunday school. I want to be prosperous. I've had a major change in my life. I was this, but now I'm this. What do? Keep working hard. And we saw verse after verse after verse. What do? Keep putting God first. Verse after verse. What do? Keep resisting Satan. Because he's going to give you temptation. He's going to try to mess your life up. We got to keep doing that. Why? Because one day, just like we just told Sarah a while ago when we gave her a Bible, she graduated from high school Friday. One day we'll all graduate from here and we'll stand in front of him. And I don't know that we'll have a tassel on. I guess we might have a white robe getting ready to ride those horses back down. I'm not sure. But we will stand before God and give an account. And he's going to say, did you keep working hard? Did you keep putting me first? Did you keep resisting Satan? Yes, sir. Here you go. And the Bible says he's going to reward us for what we've done down here on earth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, we do thank you for Sarah. Lord, we just ask you to help her, Lord, to take these three challenges, Lord, and just ingrain them in her mind and her heart. And Lord, I just ask you to help her to realize, Lord, more than her mom, more than her family, more than her church, you want her to do what you want her to do. And Lord, I just ask you to help her, Lord, to determine to do that. And Lord, help us all. Lord, if we haven't faced a big change in our life, we will. We're going to lose something, or we're going to change something, or we're going to get something different. And it's going to be a major change. But Lord, help us remember, just keep working spiritually, mentally, physically. Lord, keep putting you first, whatever you want, God. And keep watching out for Satan. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in the invitation. The altar's open if you need to come pray. Ask God to help you. Keep working. keep resisting. Keep putting Him first.